So we realized last night when we were opening the 75 Tonkas that we've worked out of 1,200 Tonkas. My friend, who's an amazing Tonka dealer in Dharamsala, we picked 75 of them for LA, and then we picked, you know, a collection of them for New York. And we were unfurling the things, and you know, I've always wondered, you know, why can't you get a good Tonka in America? I mean, it's literally impossible, even at Buddhist shops and all this kind of stuff. I mean, even at the nicest shops that there are available, and all the kind of like, if there's a shop next to a monastery and stuff, it's very hard to get an actual piece of art, a Buddhist art here in the Tonka art here in LA or in America at all, which I hadn't kind of even thought about. And then we were kind of looking at all of this incredible, like there's Tonkas that are done in pure gold, pure silver. I mean, it's really crazy. And then my friend Suzanne, who's a big art dealer in New York, sent, I think this is fascinating, Julian, sent, you know, it's kind of in vogue right now to do art exhibits with Buddhist art, with the Tonkas, but they're still not for sale. So we realized last night that we feel like this is maybe the first time tonight that this kind of art has come to America, to this quality, to actually go into your sacred spaces. So I think that's, I didn't, everybody, I had promised everyone on our last global meeting I'm not starting any new businesses in 2020. besides, I mean, I'm not considering Rama University a business quite exactly like everything else, so I'm going to take that one under the radar. Our first class will be 2021. But still, our first enrollment for Rama University will be 2021. But, you know, I promised Joanna on the global call. I got Robotic Disaster done in 2019. You know, I have all the fashion lines that I'm going to continue to make things, but I'm not starting a new business. But then last night when we had all the Tonkas, Julian looked at me and he's like, are you starting a sacred Buddhist art business? I was like, no! and take precautions, like, well, it's still 2019. So anyways, I'm kind of in awe about, and doing sadhana with those things is like, you're like, it's a busy house with all those Tonkas. I need to get those things out of my house. It's like Grand Central Station. So we'll come the next three Fridays, but we'll also have stuff up, but there's so many, we have to actually kind of clear the studio, but the next three Fridays, we'll have at 7:30 kind of a meditation. So we'll do a special, I want to do two meditations tonight where you make yourself a golden Buddha, and then you make yourself a Tibetan priest. There's these two meditations to activate the Tonkas because they're portals. And so we'll do these kind of two. There's a big Tibetan stream through the Yogi Bhajan's teacher had two students, which is very common in case one of them, you know, breaks their foot and falls off, you know, Grand Canyon or whatever. So you have the other one, you know, just in case you lose one of them. So it's very common to have, you know, two students. So Sanazara Singh, Yogi Bhajan's teacher, had Yogi Bhajan, and then he had a Tibetan student named Lama Lilian Po. And so the actual lineage first went, when Sanazara Singh died, the Mahan Tantric lineage went to the Tibetan student, Lama Lilian Po. And then Lama Lilian Po disappeared, and that's when Yogi Bhajan didn't know, but he was here in Los Angeles in 72, and all of a sudden he couldn't see out of his eyes. All he could see is out of his third eye. He went totally blind for some days, and actually never really saw again through his eyes. The same, you know, his vision never corrected. And that's when the Mahan Tantric energy went into him. So the lineage has gone, you know, kind of swirling into the Tibetan world, and many of the practices, like we'll do tonight, are from the Tibetan yogis. So there's, you know, there's a major kind of weaving of these lineages. So we're into the sacred art. Obviously, it's beautiful, and definitely this kind of gold and silver stuff is next level, but it's actually a portal into a frequency or some other kind of thing. So we're excited. We were like, oh, we'll have a little Tonka show. And then last night we realized, wow, this is really opening a whole new frequency. So the next three Friday nights, and then we'll see what happens. We'll have kind of all as many as we can out, and you can meditate with them and experience them. Just doing that is really fun. You know, if you have no inclination to have one in your own home, just being with them, and that's why we have them here too. And I was saying this last night. I was doing a teaching with my women's community. You know, the Tibetans believe that an object is only as sacred as you can possess it or love it. That's what makes the object sacred. It's not the other way around. It's not that the object is sacred and then you know, and that's, as Westerners, because of our spiritual materialism, that's what we think. We think that, oh, the object's sacred and I get to possess it. It's very different. It's completely inside out. The ability you have to love something and to create sacred outlook with it, to create sacredness with it, no matter what it is. I mean, it could be completely whatever it is. That's actually what creates value. And that's a very Aquarian age understanding. And as we move further into Uranus in Taurus, which is basically all of the economic kind of value system is changing in the age of Aquarius. The whole kind of value system of the age of Aquarius is changing, because basically we've had the fiat currency, or what currency has been, the value of it has been placed on, has been about, you know, basically some cokeheads on Wall Street saying what a unit of value is, a USD that's a joke, but it's not a joke. And we were talking about the stock market last night, just that, you know, the people who are seasoned kind of the people in the stock market, you know, they sell the thing, everybody gets scared, everybody pulls out, then the thing drops, and then they buy it again. You know, that's very common. So they're basically determining the value by, you know, that kind of, but that the value of this age and the currency and what we, and this is, you know, a lot of what's happening in kind of the inner exchanges that are going to be developing over these next years is totally changing. So in the age of Aquarius, how you value something is what creates value. And then there's an exchange of that, which is not, I mean, that's not new. But there will be new ways that it's exchanged, because now we're in the technological age. So it maybe won't, you know, you don't have to go to the trading post to barter for something. It will be a much, you know, more technological kind of, and a lot of this is happening in many, many different ways in all sorts of different sectors. So it's kind of happening before our very eyes, but a lot of times when you don't contextualize how, you know, all the different ways that the swapping and the interchange and the trading and that's happening in the on apps and, you know, in the technological world through the trading posts of the technological world, you know, it's kind of, without seeing the whole picture, it's hard to see how much we're already into a different type of gifting and trading and evaluation economy. So it's going to be very interesting, this whole, everything has to change. And I said yesterday, because we're coming up on this winter solstice 2019, which is a significant date, I said that basically, as we go to 2020 and 2021, many of the planets in the astrological kind of space go into Aquarius. And by the time we get to 2022, Pluto goes into Aquarius to join a huge stellium of planets in Aquarius, which means that the age of Aquarius, or this new frequency, has really kind of landed. And that's only a couple of years away. Now, everything has to kind of go in. Everything is going to start to follow the frequency of this new consciousness. And I was saying to somebody I was interviewing on Reality Riffing the other day, the exchange of wealth that's about to happen on the planet, from the baby boomers to the millennials, or to Gen, we'll say baby boomers to, you know, it's kind of already happened to the Gen X, but Gen baby boomers to millennials, that we'll call it a bigger swath of that, is the keystone for the change of value and what actually is valuable on this planet. Because it's a completely different operating system. So all of a sudden, you're going to have, you know, as we've seen in the past couple of years, the millennials, they're politicians, they're parents, they're driving a whole nother kind of, and that the value set's completely different. And quite soon after that, Gen Z, which is just a whole nother, the Yogi Bhajan said, this generation, the Gen Z generation that was basically born from 1992 on, but particularly 2000 on, their frequency, their consciousness, and some of you are in this generation, it's just a vibration. It's literally a vibration. So the kind of warmongering and raping and pillaging and poisoning of our you know, the suicide mission of, you know, the self-destruction of what has the agenda that has been on the planet is going to completely change. So it's an interesting time to be alive. It's the 11th day of the moon, so we'll kind of do some stuff to optimize the glandular secretion. But this is a thing you have to get. As a yogic practitioner, if you have the proper glandular secretion happening, which is very unique on the 11th day of the moon, if you have that thing going, then you're going to be able to see the forest for the trees. You're going to be able to see what is a priority ranking for what you need to do throughout a 24-hour cycle, or a priority ranking of what is important for the next cycle of your life, which is, you know, you need to be thinking about that this time of year. You guys have heard me say many times, you got to make your solstice quarterly plan. There's a lot of benefit in really kind of getting clear about where, and if the glandular system is secreting properly, the chakras are balanced and bodies are in good fitness, which is what everything we do does, then you're going to kind of priority rank things naturally in accordance to what you actually value, not what the culture values, not what you're told by your parents, not what you're told by the media, not by some sort of kind of hypnotic AI agenda, what you actually value. But that's not because you're spiritual. That's because your biochemical system is firing correctly. So we're going to Egypt in February. The whole kind of Eye of Horus and all that kind of iconography, what is it? It's a pituitary gland. Some of the most mystical iconography, what are they pointing to? The pituitary gland and the pineal glands. Does everybody get that? Okay, so when you get those things secreting properly, you start to get the spiritual insight and intuitive guidance that makes you, one, makes your life very magic and mystical. It makes you be able to see across the bends of time and space. That's just natural. That's normal. I was saying this, Jose, I don't think you were here, but I was saying that the transmission I got from you, probably in the future, was that this kind of mind, this 7-year cycle that we're completing right now is really the movement of the kind of Mayan wisdom prophecy that everyone is a timekeeper. And you probably said that to me, but maybe it was in the future. I don't know if you've said it to me in this particular time stream, but that everyone's a timekeeper now. And that in being a timekeeper means that you have the secretion, the pituitary, the Eye of Horus, whatever you want to call it. There's major mystical, you know, if you like to go mystical, we can go mystical. If you want to just be scientific, we can go very scientific. They've done major research on, you take a pineal gland out of an old rat and you put a new one in there, what happens to the rat? Well, all of a sudden the rat has a whole nother consciousness, it decalcifies, it youths. That's, you know, they've done a lot of research on this stuff. So if you want to go scientific, we can go there. If you want to go mystical, we can go there. But what we know as yogic scientists is that you start to get this thing secreting properly and time starts to look differently to you. And so on the, I'm not sure if you told me this or not, where you told it to me. Okay. That this 7-year cycle is a kind of a consecration of everyone in, you know, this scene, in any kind of, wherever you wouldn't make it here on a Friday morning at 7 a.m. if you weren't, you know, part of this crew. That secretion is starting to give you these kind of hypersensitivities and psychic abilities, but it's just, you know, there's just being human. Yeah, just being human. And so that's what we're going to work on a little bit. And you can take that 11th day of the moon. This is a very unique energy, so we can really kind of hypersensitize those secretions. And what we found is Nancy Reagan's psychic, who I interviewed on Wednesday, and she kept on saying to me, she's a real, you know, interesting lady. You know, I call it the mystic eye when people are super psychic, but like the eye, just one of the eyes just gets like filmed over and like looks, you know. So she was like looking at me, and she was like, "You're like 11 years old. You're 16. You're 11. I was like, "Yes, the Kundalini girl." Keep going. I like this reading. I like where this is headed. But that's just the, you know, that's kind of all of the yogic technology around having a different experience of time is we do it differently, and all of the different ways that. But you know, the yogis that at 150 still were looking like they were children, that's just very common in our scene. You know, that very common, so that's part of this kind of being able to traverse the time and the space. Okay, so we'll work a little bit on this morning. Let's start with Cat Cow. Thanks so much for listening to another lecture on reality riffing. These are conversations and topics that I think are very important to discuss. If you enjoyed, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and share with your friends and your family. If you also want to continue to listen, bigger lectures and classes and other experiences are available on gurujagat.com.